Okay, so thanks for the great talks for previous speakers. So now I'm going to talk about from modeler's perspective about the parameter Q10. So probably Q10 is one most popular parameters, and when people get data, especially about respiration data and versus the temperature, and people tend to fit that and get a number of Q10. So, and similarly, this idea has been built into many soil and biogeochemical models, but often like people found like it's kind of hard to fit the global respiration data with a single Q10, so someone go a little bit further, and they use respiration data with the equation assumed behind that, and they try to say, maybe the Q10 is a spatial variable, but within some small range. But what I'm going to say today is that maybe that's not enough, and the Q10 actually is not a constant parameter even for a single site, or a single job. So rather, Q10 is a response variable. It's a emergent property assistant, and that you can only get it from some special conditions. And the approach I'm trying to show this is a modeling approach with some evaluation with empirical data. Specifically, we're trying to develop a model that, with consideration and complexity of the soil carbon decomposition problem, which we consider micros, mineral surface, thermodynamics, chemistry kinetics, and etc. And then we evaluate the model phase, make sure our model can capture a large range of variabilities of the soil carbon decomposition problem people would find through all kinds of empirical experiments. And then we're trying to revisit the classical paradigm about, like, say, whether Q10 is a constant parameter, or actually we're just leading to the wrong track because of our naive thinking in design numerical models, and also try to match with the empirical experiments. And finally, we hope we could get a better understanding of at least temperature sensitivity. Just to convince you, we develop them very carefully. We go through a lot of functional relationships between model dependent variables and also interdependent variables. For example, the relationship between carbon input rate and the soil carbon stocks, and also the mineral surface carbon protection capacity with the soil carbon things. But it's pretty lengthy, but just to confirm you, like, we did a very comprehensive evaluation, and with all those metrics actually would have failed most of existing soil carbon models, but our models was able to resolve all this kind of variability across spatial and temporal gradients. And then let's go to the model. As I said, we're trying to mimic the complexity through a numerical model with a consideration that all the first principles we know as much as we can. Specifically in the model, we got considered the polymers, monomers, the degradation of polymers by the enzyme to monomers, and also in presence of the mineral surface, which interacted with the enzymes and monomers, and also the microbes that have to compete with the mineral surface to uptake the monomers to synthesize biomass, and by the same time, the microbes' internal physiology, which is with the help of the, we consider a explicit microbe reserve, metabolite reserve inside the microbe cell, because we think the microbes, they'll try their whole capability to fight the environmental fluctuations, and we hope this kind of representation plasticity will get more realistic predictions. So anyway, so we got this relatively simple model, if you think it's simple. So and with this and also within all these reaction rates, we incorporate the thermodynamics. Basically, what it says, we calculate most of the reaction rates based on Gibbs free energy, so as we see. for chemistry kinetics. So, and the unique things here, because we're trying to resolve the complex temperature sensitivity, the emergent temperature sensitivity, so we have to consider all those individual components, how they depend on the temperature, with the hope, by resolving all those different temperature characteristics, we hope we could get more realistic prediction of the relationship between respiration and the temperature. And here comes the model predictions. Specifically, this is the model prediction from driving the model with a temperature data contains both diurnal and seasonal cycles. We see here the first salient feature is that the respiration is really a nonlinear has really a nonlinear relationship against the temperature, and more importantly, it's not like it's unlikely we would be able to have a single temperature sensitivity to fit the whole the curve of the respiration against the temperature. Even here, we only have just to mention here we only have one carbon substrate, so rather it's a two-dimensional geometric shape. So that basically say that microbial respiration from next to time step really depends on what the status of the previous time step. So, and the other things here, we see if you consider microbial plasticity, which just says if a microbe has the capability to kind of stabilize its internal environment with some internal storage, and you see there is difference in predicted the temperature sensitivity of respiration against the temperature. And the other things here, if you, on the right hand side, compared to left side, which in the left side, we don't have metal protection, but if you incorporate metal protection, the temperature, emergent temperature response of the respiration is going to be further changed. So, only saying, you know, it's hard to say there's single parameter to represent the temperature sensitivity of the respiration. And here, now we based on this model prediction, we diagnose the Q10 as a temperature-dependent variable, and so here there's huge spread. Even though you will see there is sort of an emergent curve, which from very high number to very small number in the high temperature, but still, at any single temperature, you would get a multiple number of Q10. So, which means when you fit respiration data with temperature, attribute that to a single parameter isn't the right way, and that also isn't the right way to use that. Say we're gonna use that number to inform the model. That's just not correct. And the other thing to note is that if you analyze the respiration data by temporal averaging, would get the Q10 parameter that falls in the comfortable zone about what we found, like within a small number, sort of between 0 to 10 sometimes. So, and just to point out, this large variability of Q10 is totally consistent with many empirical experiments. So, even though given this large variability, we sort of forgot when we're trying to build a model. And the finding concluded is that if we further incorporate the soil moisture, or like say substrate limitation, Q10 basically could be any number of what you want. So, from the modeling perspective. So what I say is why Q10 is so variable, and basically there are two major mechanisms. The first one is the microbe energy limitation, and when the substrate is really limited, it has the Q10 tend to be high. And the other one is the microbial physiology response, because the microbes are internal physiology and sort of semi-independent from the external environment. And because of that, the microbes would, in a very variable environment, the microbes gonna give gonna have a very variable microbial carbon sufficiency. And here's some predictions. First, if we fast the model without any temporal fluctuation in temperature, we got this nice curve, which is linear, or like if you say like say semi-linear, and of the carbon efficiency against the temperature, which is consistent with many empirical measurements. But if you include the season cycle and the temperature, we got this curve. So the carbon sufficiency could be in sensitive temperature or like decrease or decrease at a different rate. And if you further include the diurnal cycle and the carbon sufficiency is even having more complex behaviors, in some cases it could be even negative. So they always indicate the Q10 is not a static parameter, so is carbon sufficiency. And because it seems, so from this observation, it seems like the model, when we build a modeling exercise, or when we claim that say we're going to use the empirical experiment to inform the model, it quite likely we have misinterpreted empirical studies. And so what could have happened? So we did some analysis with our model. The first thing is that we have a model dynamic predicted carbon sufficiency with the other one fixed the carbon sufficiency as you would have predicted for incubation experiments. The thing to see here with the simulation without temperature variability, the two models give almost identical predictions, but when you further include the natural variability of the seasonal cycle of temperature or that other cycle of temperature, you will see the static carbon sufficiency model over predicted the response of the carbon stocks to temperature. And similarly, the same thing happened for the Q10. So basically, you see, you would have, if we fit the model, we have, you know, sort of almost identical response as some steady state or like a constant temperature scenario. But if you include the temperature sensitivity variability, you get an over prediction because of the constant Q10 assumption. So to summarize, I hope I convinced you Q10 is not parameter in terms if you want that you build into a model, we should give up the idea to say Q10 is a parameter. And also, when we're building those models, or let's say when we're trying to derive those parameters from the incubation experiment, it seems we make some quite incorrect assumptions. So those assumptions lead to some fundamental flaws into the soil carbon biogeochemical models, which is not correctable by so-called data simulation approach many people are using these days in the modeling community. So finally, we hope we're going to motivate new modeling and experiment integration to actually improve our soil carbon chemistry models. With that, I'm ready to take questions. I personally don't think so because it's so variable. Basically he's saying, can we, you know, use the spatially resolved Q10 to inform the model? My answer is no. So my feeling is that it's not correct concept in building models. In building models, we should go into the details, actually resolve the processes rather than use some emergent parameter to fast the model. Well, I would say, you know, we need to measure the temperature sensitivity of the reactions. So, like enzyme stability, or like you have, this substrate coupled with one carbon substrate coupled with some specific like electron acceptors, and trying to characterize those behaviors on different temperature regimes. Yeah.
Thank you so much.